Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the podcast. This is Jamise, host of the Letting Go of Perfectionism podcast. And for any entrepreneurs who are new to listening, welcome. Any entrepreneurs who are returning to listen, thank you for being here. Now, what do I mean by entrepreneur? I'm referring to people who are in 9 to 5 job roles who desire to become entrepreneurs. So either you identify as a 9 to 5er or you identify as an entrepreneur, which is someone who operates as an entrepreneur within the organization that they work for. But either way, you have a desire of becoming an entrepreneur. Maybe you want to educate or entertain or inform or write a book. Ultimately, you want to be an entrepreneur. And so, thanks for being here. Thanks for listening. I am actually going to try and bang out 2 to 3 episodes a week this month and next month, as the platform I record on will be rolling out some changes that will greatly impact the ease with which I'm able to do this. So, I want to take advantage of the time I have to produce content like this with ease. So, what are we talking about today? Today's topic is about perfectionism. I want to take time to define for you all what it is. I'm going to use 3 different ways to define it, and then I'm also going to be describing what it looks like, what it sounds like, what some symptoms of perfectionism are, as well as what are some reasons why someone might experience perfectionism, and then what perfectionism is not. So let's start off by defining perfectionism. I'm going to define it in 3 ways. The first way, and this is a way I recently discovered through the research that I was doing even after the book was published, which is this: perfectionism is one of 5 different imposter syndrome types. So if you go with me to your local internet browser and you type in the 5 types of imposter syndrome. One is the perfectionist, two is the expert, three is the natural genius, four is the soloist, and 5 is the super person. Now, people who experience perfectionism likely also report experiencing imposter syndrome, and it makes sense why you would. And I don't think I've ever heard anyone ever explain this anywhere, but perfectionism is a form of imposter syndrome. It is one of the 5 different types. And what I've often seen in people experiencing perfectionism is that because it is a form of imposter syndrome, it's not the only form that they experience. So you might see a person experiencing perfectionism who also is like a superwoman or a superman, always trying to come to rescue for someone or something, trying to save something from falling or failing, and has not learned the important lesson of letting the pieces fall as they may. And especially for those in corporate workplaces, you might find people who don't have boundaries. So they are either people pleasing or they're fawning, and their stress response is to seek the approval of man and others, as opposed to having those healthy boundaries. So I hope that this is insightful for you and illuminating to you, especially as you navigate corporate places as a 9 to 5er, as an entrepreneur, and on your journey to becoming an entrepreneur, because increasing your self-awareness around this is going to be critical, not just for your performance as an individual contributor in an organization, but as a leader. Even if you don't have the title in those organizations, and as a leader in the organizations you'll go on to launch, create, and lead in your communities, this type of awareness is super critical. And even though some of us may say, "Oh, I am self-aware," trust me, there is a limitless, like boundless way in which we can be in pursuit of self-awareness across different areas of our lives. So I would humble ourselves to not think that we are so self-aware to the point where there's no room for further increasing in our self-awareness. And by increasing our self-awareness, we can increase our effectiveness. We can increase our interpersonal skills and abilities, and we can improve and increase our abilities to lead well and to lead effectively. I know a lot of listeners want to do things like give back to their community. They want to give back to generations coming after them. And I would challenge us all to think about ways in which we could support the generations that we actually belong to right now that we're in. Because a lot of us could use some support as well. And so, yeah, hopefully this can support you in your own journey and efforts of letting go of perfectionism. So that was one way of defining perfectionism. It is one of the five imposter syndromes. Now, here's a second way of defining perfectionism, and this I write about in my book. For those who are new here, I am Jamise Dunlap, the author of the book Tales of a West Side Chicago Girl, Letting Go of Perfectionism, a memoir of faith and perseverance. I published this book a couple years ago, back in 2020. Was it one? 2022. I published it, the paperback in 2022, ebook in 2022. Then I recorded the audiobook and published that in 2023. And they're all available on Amazon. Now, as far as the second definition of perfectionism, there are two types. There's the adaptive perfectionism and there's a maladaptive perfectionism. So adaptive perfectionism, that is a healthy form of perfectionism. Another way we can think of adaptive perfectionism is to actually think of it this way. So a lot of us identify as high achieving and we say excellence is our standard. But what some of us don't seem to realize is that there is a difference between excellence and unrealistic expectation setting. When you are pursuing excellence and you are high achieving and you are setting realistic expectations, that means that these expectations are actually attainable, which is different from being high achieving and setting unrealistic expectations and trying to pursue that which is perfect, that which does not exist, and that which you could never actually be or achieve, and no one ever has. Except for my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so, as we begin to humble ourselves and understand that we are not God, but God is God, and that there is only one true and living God, then we begin down this path and this journey of recognizing, wow, I'm not perfect. Wow, I've never been perfect. Wow, God has not called me to be perfect, though He has made me perfectly in his image, and he shaped me in my mother's womb. Okay, that is different from striving for the unrealistic and unattainable status of perfect imperfection. So, maladaptive perfectionism is the type of perfectionism this podcast is primarily focused on. And helping people to understand what it is, how it came about, and letting it go. Like the title of my book says, Letting Go of Perfectionism. Letting go of perfectionism is necessary because, unlike adaptive perfectionism, maladaptive perfectionism is actually destructive. It is a hindrance to progress. And for many, what I've noticed is that it is actually a hindrance to getting started, let alone getting it finished, done, and across the finish line. And so, those are two of the three ways of defining perfectionism. It's one of the five imposter syndromes. There are two kinds of perfectionisms, adaptive and maladaptive. Now let's dive into the third type. So the third way that we can define perfectionism, and this is actually outlined in the book. I grabbed a copy, page 13 of the introduction. Under the section defining perfectionism, I highlight that there are three models used to describe how perfectionism originates. So there is self-oriented perfectionism. there is socially prescribed perfectionism, and then there is other oriented perfectionism. And the way I like to think about this is there's the me, there's the other people, and then there's the systems that we're a part of. So going back to page 13, self-oriented perfectionism, that's the me. That's the me expecting me to be perfect, expecting perfection of oneself. The other-oriented perfectionism, that's the others, expecting others to be perfect. And then socially prescribed perfectionism, those are the systems, others expecting perfectionism of you, the individual. And so, wait, let me redo that. So self-oriented perfectionism is expecting you expecting yourself to be perfect. Other-oriented perfectionism is you expecting other people to be perfect. And then socially prescribed perfectionism is other, whether it's people or systems, expecting you to be perfect. So let's just do a deeper dive into that and what that could look like, practically speaking. So when we talk about maladaptive perfectionism, that is that self, I mean, any of these can be maladaptive, to be honest. But when we talk about self-oriented maladaptive perfectionism, that is you setting high, unrealistic expectations for yourself. And you could be blaming yourself and talking critically and condemning yourself and being your own worst critic and self-judgment. Those are forms and symptoms of perfectionism. So if I think about with book writing, if so when I was first writing the book, it's my first time writing a book, and I felt like an imposter, like oh, the author community will find out I've never written a book before. Well, guess what, Janice? They know you never wrote a book before, and they still decided that they wanted to support you off the strength of they want to see you do well. They want to see you succeed, and perfection is not their expectation of you, right? And then other-oriented perfectionism, you find this often when people are critical of other people. They may say things like, so-and-so should have or could have done this or that. Or if I was in their shoes, I would have done this or that. Well, you're not in their shoes. So, like, but also, now we're starting to get into the cognitive distortions that people who experience perfectionism also experience. So, a cognitive distortion is a distorted way of thinking, it is often a negative way of thinking, and it is not truthful. It is sometimes forward-looking, where you're trying to predict as if you have a crystal ball and know the future, or it's you rehashing the past and doing what is called ruminating. So you're going over and over and thinking over and over in your mind what you did wrong, what you should have, could have done better. And recently I heard a teaching Tiffany Montgomery did calling the like turning your mind into a tomb in a cemetery and rehearsing things over and over. That rehearsal is rumination. And I said once before in a podcast episode, if you can ruminate, you can meditate. To ruminate is to be thinking over and over and over to the point of depression and stress and anxiety over and over about this negative thing. Because you have the power to think over and over and over something, and if something that's been chosen is negative, you have the power to replace it with something that's either neutral or positive. And then you can turn that rumination into a meditation in which you are left feeling more at ease and more relaxed, knowing that the thing that you're replaying in your mind and the emotions it's creating and the sensations it's generating inside your body are not negative ones, but are neutral and more positive, pleasant ones. So if you ever find yourself feeling bad, feeling sad, feeling these negative emotions, or feeling these intrusive thoughts, it all started with a thought. And even if it's just the same thought going over and over and over again, if it's a negative one, that is going to impact your emotional health and well-being, your mental health and well-being, your spiritual health and well-being, all of which will feed into your physical health and well-being. And so that's the self-oriented, where you're being critical of yourself, the other-oriented, where you're setting a high, unrealistic expectation for other people and being critical of them. And then there's a socially prescribed perfectionism, so someone else may be setting an expectation for you. Someone told me recently, they said, oh, growing up, my mom used to say, well, don't be like so and so. Don't say you're going to do something and then not do it like so and so. And now this person walks around with that in their heads. Oh, I'm not going to do this because I don't want to be like so and so. And what they didn't realize that was doing was it was creating a codependent relationship between them and their lives and the lives of other people. So codependency is you living your life as a direct result and as a direct reaction to someone else. When in actuality, the way life is intended to be lived is with regard to you, who you are, what your purpose is, what your calling is, who you were called to be, and what God has called you to be, and where God is leading you, not who your mother is, who your father is, who your uncle is, who your aunt is, what they want you to be, what they told you you should be, what they feel you would be good at. You go to law school because they said you are so good at defending yourself. You go to medical school because they say you are so good at math. You go to engineering school because they said, oh, I don't think you will be a good fit for engineering school, so you want to prove them wrong. Those are examples of operating in an unhealthy, codependent way. Similar to perfectionism, you can have healthy codependency and you can have unhealthy codependency. And when we think about healthy codependency, that is you operating in an interrelated relationship, right? Where two individuals, they have their own selves, their own beings, own identity, own interests, own way of thinking, own way of operating, and they come together to support each other. And that is in relation to how God designed us to be interdependent. Right, when you start to see extreme independence, that is a sign and symptom of dysfunction. It is also a sign and a symptom of other spiritual things you want to be mindful of, like the spirit of pride, the spirit of unforgiveness, the spirit of offense. There are spirits that can be operating within someone's behavior to be extremely independent. It could be an orphan spirit, someone has hurt them in the past, spirit of abandonment, someone has disappointed them in the past, that they would do something and didn't come through for them. And there's, a whole other space we can go into as far as that's concerned, as far as, discerning people's, discerning their spirits, not being on this hamster wheel of insanity, repeating the same things over and over, getting the same results, but then being mad because you expected a different result. And so when you think about socially prescribed perfectionism, others expecting perfection of you, there is a requirement for you to first be aware of this, and then two, know how to handle and adjust and respond to it, typically in the form of setting boundaries and maintaining those boundaries with those people, with those systems, and with those beliefs that others may have around what you, quote unquote, should be doing or what they would do if they were you, or what you could have done differently. Therefore, placing you against a standard that's not realistic because you're telling me what you could have done and would have done in the past. That's no use to me because I'm here in the present and there's nothing I can do to change or undo the past. So that's the third type of perfectionism. And I did say that I wanted to get into helping you understand what experiencing perfectionism can look and sound like more practically, especially in your day-to-day, in your 9-to-5s, and on your path to becoming entrepreneurs. So, in my notes here, I outlined 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 specific types. The first one is negative filtering. The second one is self-criticism. The third one is overgeneralization. The fourth one is blaming. And the fifth and final one is minimizing. So I may not get a chance to go through and do a complete deep dive on these, and I can save that for a future podcast episode. But I did touch on the self-criticism part. That's perfectionism, that's self-oriented. I think overgeneralizing, that can be related to other-oriented perfectionism. You might say, oh, you always do this or you always do that when you're murmuring and complaining against people and situations. Negative filtering is one that I see most commonly, especially for 9-to-5ers. And here's how that can sound. If you have a not so great work experience with a manager, a team, or a company, you might find yourself saying that the experience was trash. It was all bad. There was no good. You thoroughly did not enjoy it. You hated being there, and it was a waste of your time. Pretty extreme, right? Now, there is something to be said about expressing your emotions and how you feel, and there's something to be said about processing those negative experiences. But as you do that, it's important to do it in a way that's effective and healthy for you, your mind, your body, your spirit, your emotions. And one way you can do that is to begin to challenge this all or nothing, overgeneralized way of thinking of your experience to tease out, well, what went well? What did you enjoy about it? What was helpful? You were paid. They cut you a check and you were able to pay bills. Was that not good? They provided you with health insurance, and although some of the people listening have access to dental insurance, health insurance, and don't go to the dentist, and so that's why it feels even more painful when you have a negative experience with a job, because the actual benefits that they give you, you end up not benefiting from. You end up not taking advantage of the benefit. And we see this in the spiritual realm too. As we learn and we read the Bible and we learn scripture and the power we have to command the devil to flee and he will go, if we use scripture to do it, we have the benefit to command that and to shift that and to change that. But if we don't know about the benefit, or if we don't activate the benefit and open our mouths and use the sword against the enemy, then we don't actually feel that there is a benefit. We don't actually experience the benefit of having that benefit. And so to bring it back to the worldly, fleshly, day-to-day 9-to-5 experience, I would like to challenge you all to, when you find yourself reflecting on an experience you've had in a 9-to-5 in a workplace, and you find yourself saying, you will not believe what they, I can't believe that they. And you're using all these outside ways to refer to things, they, them, their products, their strategy, what they lacked. I want you to challenge yourself to invite some compassion into the conversation and then redirect the focus to you. Find ways to focus on the you and find ways to focus on the positive aspects of that experience. Perhaps even create a T chart and on the left put pros and on the right put cons, so that even as you're filling out what the cons of that experience were, you create space to give thanks to God for the experience you had and the opportunity He gave you to be there and the lessons that you were able to learn. Because here's the thing, a lot of us lose sight of the fact that when we are where we are, especially as children of God, we are there for a reason and a purpose. And sometimes what we miss out on is the opportunity to live out that purpose in that season because we have not taken time to seek God in it. We've engaged in idolatry and the worship of people in corporate. The CEOs, the managers, the stock compensation, the salary, the PTO, the benefits, and we begin to worship these gifts that God has given us, and we view them as our gods, lowercase g, and we idolize them instead of giving all glory, honor, and praise to the gift giver who made this gift possible for us. So that even in the midst of a less than ideal experience in the workplace, experience in our personal lives, there is still space to give glory to God and to thank Him for what He is doing for us and through us in this season. So I really want to challenge you all in that T chart to go ham on the pros. Talk to God, read your Bible, and ask Him to reveal to you as you're reading, to give you revelation. I mentioned that pay and insurance and the ability to pay rent and the ability to pay bills and the ability to put food on the table, clothes on your back, take trips, vacations. These are things that did go well for you in your job because you had a job and these are things you're able to do. Find those bonuses and allow that to lift you up and to move you from a place of rumination and having your mind be a cemetery that's rehearsing and repeating the same negative stuff over and over about how trash your job is, your boss is, the culture is, the company is, the industry is, how much you hate it and you're ready to move on. Like, and I'm talking to myself too, let's grow up. Let's mature in the realm of the spirit and let's stop giving so much glory to the devil and let's start to honor and glorify God in His rightful place. Okay, so how do we get there? We're talking about the three types of perfectionism, and I was sharing with you, yes, how it practically shows up, especially for 9-to-5ers in the workplace. So we were doing a deep dive on negative filtering. And I was sharing the antidote to negative filtering, which is both adding that compassion piece, moving away from the judgment, and then starting to look for the blessings in it because they're there. And then the last one I'll maybe go into a little bit more detail on is minimizing. So it's very easy for us to minimize these things. So we minimize the good, maximize the bad, which relates to that negative filtering concept. And so, yeah, those are the main five ways that perfectionism can show up. That's given us plenty to work with. I think that the T-chart exercise would be some great homework for everyone to work on. And especially if you are suffering from the symptom of calling work trash, your boss trash, your team trash, and walking around telling everybody how much you hate your job and giving so much glory and so much honor to the devil, then focusing on that T chart and going ham on the pros while honoring yourself and allowing yourself to put things down on the cons. But make sure you load up on the pros and make sure you load up on the I's, the me's, the my's. What did I do? What role did I play in this? How did I grow and develop through this? And I'll maybe share one personal example too before we go. I recently found myself asking myself the same question I did almost 5 years ago, which is God. Why do you have me here at this company, on this team, in this city, in this industry? What do you want me to learn? What do you want me to know? How do you want me to grow? And what I realize is that, Jamise, this is a question you ought to or could be asking daily as you seek to be reliant upon Him and not yourself, as you seek to honor Him as God and not yourself, lowercase g. And so in your quarterly reflections, your monthly reflections, your daily prayers, and meditations is, God, show me why you have me here. Give me the grace and the mercy to look at this situation not through such a critical lens and not through such a perfectionistic lens, an overgeneralized lens, a negative filtered lens, a blaming lens, a minimizing lens. Help me to see it for what it is, Father God, which is a bridge, a stepping stone, getting me from one season in my life to the next season, Father God, building your kingdom, glorifying and honoring you, and preparing me for what is ahead. Father God, give me a preview into what is ahead so I can contextualize and understand where I am right now. I'm where I am now, learning effective interpersonal communication skills and assertive communication skills in preparation for marriage, in preparation for children, in preparation for building God's kingdom, right? I'm learning about leadership principles, leadership topics, and ways to lead well as we look ahead to your future roles and promotions as leaders, not just in a 9-to-5, but as you become entrepreneurs, as you are in your communities, as you are operating as leaders in your day-to-day, even without the title. And so I'm going to start to wrap us up there. This is going to be a foundational episode for us as we continue on the journey, and hopefully the journey ends soon, of letting go of perfectionism, because this is something we want to nip in the bud. Let that go. Honor and acknowledge God for who He is, and recognize you are not Him and you are not God. And so, yeah, I think as we let go of our pet demons, our idols, as we read our word more and get to know who God is and what His ways are, this will become easier for us. But I know how uncomfortable it can be, especially in the beginning of the journey. And so, thanks for being here. Thanks for being on the journey. Thanks for doing the work to become a better, more healed individual so that you can reduce the stress in your life, the misery in your life, and increase joy in your life so that, you can spread that joy around to others. So I'll see you back here probably at least a third time this week, and definitely next week. Wishing you well. God bless.